Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we wrap up our back-to-school week with a number of reporters today, as we've had quite an eventful week. We head to Columbia. Jacob Phillips joins us from the Daily Gamecock. Jacob, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you doing?
We are delighted to have you on. Before we get too deep in the weeds here, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I'm entering my last semester at the University of South Carolina. Looking forward to graduating. Born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. So love it here, love the area, not too far from home. So yeah, it's been great.
And you're covering an exciting program. Gamecocks have come out of that long walk in the wilderness, and it looks like things are happening. Tell us about the enthusiasm on campus for Beamer ball.
Yeah. Obviously, Shane Beamer has turned this program around from what it was before he got here, and fans know that, especially students. He's brought kind of this youthful energy into the program that wasn't really there before. It's created a culture that fans want to go cheer for, students want to go to every game for, and recruits even want to go play for. So it's been working out.
You know, it's interesting. We were over there for the Tennessee game last year, and You felt his impact everywhere, Jacob, and I think maybe you saw it coming. I didn't, but it's so interesting how one person has affected so many people.
Yeah, really. I mean, so my first year at school was the last year Will Muschamp was head coach, and just the difference in the program it's crazy. Like, people are so enthusiastic about this upcoming season, especially, you know, Beamer came in first year 6-6, won our bowl game, got even better next year, won an extra game. And so, you know, there's expectations this year, which probably the first season under Beamer that there are real expectations for this team.
Let's talk about first the schedule, because it's a dicey beginning in your hometown against North Carolina, and then a couple weeks later, Georgia. So take us through these, especially the first game. How important is that?
Yeah, that first game of the season is going to set the tone for how good this team can be. Tough matchup, Mayo Bowl rematch against North Carolina. Obviously, they're led by quarterback Drake May, who many say is one of the top quarterbacks of college football this year. So it'll be a test for the defense. It'll be a test for the offense under a new offensive coordinator. So a lot is going to be told about that team in that first week.
Now, on the other side, we have Spencer Rattler, and we all know what happened last year. But I keep hearing, that's why we have you on, to straighten out fact from fiction, that he's having an amazing camp. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing the same thing. I've heard him himself say that this is one of the most fun camps he's participated in his entire career. The word on the street is that he looks great. He, you know, really found his spot in this team. He's stepped up as a leader and looking more consistent than he was last year, which is probably the biggest thing you want to see from Spencer Rattler coming into this year, with how up and down his last season was.
Jacob, what do you think it was? Do you think it was the way the season ended, or just finally clicked?
Yeah, I think obviously the way the season ended last year was huge for this team. Nobody predicted them to beat Tennessee, and then even after that, nobody predicted them to beat Clemson. So, you know, that really put confidence in Spencer Rattler that we hadn't seen since his early days at Oklahoma. And so you really hope that confidence has, you know, continued through the offseason into spring camp and then fall camp. And hopefully going out in week one, you'll see that confidence too. And if that confidence is there, he can be really special on the field.
We're chatting with our student reporter, Jacob Phillips, from the Daily Gamecock. Let's take a look at this schedule. We mentioned a few games, but it's an interesting schedule. Starts tough, ends even more difficult. But after that North Carolina game, Furman, and then at Georgia, everyone knows what happens there. Mississippi State, a game you should win, but and then at Tennessee and Florida. Break those first six games down for us, and what do you think we're going to be looking at?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, it really depends on how they come out against North Carolina. Once you get familiar with the tone that this team can set going into the season, I think you'll be better able to predict those first stretch of games. Obviously, going into Georgia is hard no matter who you are. And then going into Tennessee, I mean, they're going to be mad about what happened last year, so they're going to be playing with a bit of the chip on their shoulder. It's not an easy schedule for the Gamecocks this year.
By the way, the second half isn't that great either. At Missouri, that's a 50-50 game. At Texas A&M, Gamecocks will be an underdog. And then the finish, Kentucky, probably that's a week after Alabama, so you're probably in good shape there. But the revenge game against Clemson, if you had to put a number, always difficult, but you're a young reporter, we like to put them on the spot. What's the record going to be on November 26th?
Ooh, see, that's a tough one. You know, there's so many question marks about this team right now. How good could they be? My floor for this team, I see them being bowl eligible no matter what. Floor about 6-6. Can get as high as 9-3 if they play up to those expectations, but I'd probably say around that 7-8 win range is probably the safest bet for the Gamecocks this year, especially with how tough that schedule is.
Jacob, you are impressing me with your intelligence there. That was that's about where I would go as well. So before you go, you mentioned you've been in Columbia a while. You're about to go do something in the world. What would you like to be doing in a couple of years?
Well, I love writing, and so I really want to be a sports writer. I've done some freelance work around the Columbia area. Obviously, I'm writing for the Gamecock, covering some of South Carolina's biggest games. So really getting out of school, finding a job to write, preferably sports, would be my dream. And then my big goal in the long term, I love basketball. I'd love to be an NBA beat writer someday, maybe for my hometown Charlotte Hornets. So we'll see where life takes me.
Well, we wish you well. You're off to a great start. Very impressive. Jacob, thank you very much. Jacob Phillips from the Daily Gamecock, one of our student reporters, as we get going here on our final day of that. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls are right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. And Jim is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jim.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. You had a caller earlier, Brian from Chicago.
Right.
He referred to himself as Brian, one of our northern callers. I think it should be introduced as Brian, one of our Yankee callers.
Yeah, I agree. Yankee is a much better description.
It is, and it gives a little character to the show, and maybe put an asterisk by all their names when they call in, so we know we won't be getting any bad information. You know,
yeah, we once joked years ago that we refused to take Yankee calls, so that upset a couple of people. But
oh well, you know, I bet if you took a poll of all your callers, 99% of them would have once in their life used the word Yankee.
Well, most would put an adjective in front of that.
Yes, I won't use that adjective, but it just kind of rattled my cage this morning. Especially, what's the dude from Ohio who calls?
Jeff.
Oh, he's a damn Yankee.
He is.
If Ohio State ever wins it,
I can attest that Yankees are different than Southerners. The fact that I grew up in a house with three Yankees.
I have Yankee relatives, and I still go up there, and they always ask me, "Do you guys have running water down there?"
Jim, how would you like to go on a family trip as a young kid and be made fun of because of your Southern heritage and accent?
I've had it happen.
Yeah, well, that's what shaped my life. That's why I'm so traumatized today. It happened to me at 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, but we live on. We get over it, you know. But this particular network, you know, we just need to keep calling it like it is. You know?
They are welcome, Jim. They're welcome to call. They're welcome as long as they identify themselves properly.
Yes, this is your Yankee caller from Chicago.
Hey, thank you very much. Brett is in California. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm your California caller, so thank you for taking
it.
We're
okay with California because it's in another country.
I'm coming into town to visit my daughter in the Grove to see LSU play Ole Miss. Just curious your thoughts around that matchup. Looks pretty juicy. Number two, what SEC team do you think is going to be playing the USC Trojans in the championship game? I just see that matchup happening. I just want to know your view on that.
Oh, wow. Well, Brett, I hope we see you that weekend in the Grove. That would be a phenomenal game. That's a major rivalry, to say the least. I think Georgia would be the pick by me.
Yeah, I don't think any SEC team quarterback is anything like Caleb Williams. I think they would be in for a shocker. Playing USC in the championship. It'd be something they hadn't faced all year.
Well, I hope USC gets there. It's about time. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Some cockiness from L.A. Chad is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Chad.
Yes, sir, Paul. My question, first off, I wanted to give a little shout-out to Roman Harper. Last year, I thought he was totally against Kentucky. But really, he just called out our weaknesses in our offensive line very early. And that played out throughout the season. And I noticed that he gave some credit to Kentucky this week. So a shout out to Roman Harper there. But the question I have for you, Paul, is I think everybody knows Georgia is the favorite in the SEC East. If they don't, they're being silly. But I think there's a mix of three behind that with Tennessee, Kentucky, and South Carolina. That I would like your thoughts upon how you think the SEC will pull out behind Georgia in the SEC East. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. I mean, I think that's right now. I like Tennessee probably next, and then I think Kentucky and South Carolina are pretty even. I'm probably maybe a slight lean toward Kentucky. I'm expecting a big year from them. Thank you very, very much for the call. Tanner in West Virginia, you're on the air. Hello, Tanner.
Hi, I'm Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I actually, this relates to my question, but I actually just got back up here in Morgantown for my first year of grad school. So being able to call in, and I want to get your opinion on how do you think the Mountaineers are going to do this year, especially considering – you look at all, like, the sports media people and, like, in the Athlon, they're like, oh, West Virginia is the worst team in the Big 12, blah, 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 talking all this smack, saying, oh, West Virginia is going to go at max 3-9. stuff like absolute nonsense like that. But I want to get your opinion. How do you think the Mountaineers are going to do this season?
I feel they need to do well. Well, by the way, what are you studying up there?
I just entered grad school for linguistics.
Oh my goodness, how interesting!
Yep.
Where will that take you once you get your master's?
2 years, but then after those 2 years, most likely I'll either be at Georgia or the University of Texas. So I'll be in SEC country.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, I can't predict a huge season, but I would say I would go north of 3 games. That's for sure. Hey, thank you very, very much. Scott in Texas is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, Jacob Phillips did a great job earlier today. I just wanted to give a shout out to him. I really was impressed with his predictions about how South Carolina was going to do.
Yeah, I think all these student reporters bring an insight that we love here, and we'll continue doing it. And we'll talk to these men and women as the season unfolds as well. But I think 7 and 8 is about. And it's not that I don't think Carolina is a good team. I think they really are, but their schedule is ridiculously tough.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. Hey, Paul, outside of, looking forward to watching my Tennessee Vols play this season, I'm really looking forward to a couple of things to unfold this season. The first is, what Kevin Barbe is going to do over at Mississippi State and him and Coach Arnett and what they're going to bring after the passing of Coach Leach last year. And then also what Auburn's going to look like. I'm really interested to find out what Coach Freeze has got in store for Auburn and what he can do with the guys that he's got there right now. But I'm interested to find out what you are looking forward to this coming season to watching. Of course, outside of Alabama, I know we're talking an awful lot about Alabama on the Feinbaum Show. So, outside of Alabama, what is probably the number one thing that you're looking forward to watching and unfolding in this coming football season?
Well, Scott, I watch it a little bit differently than a fan. I'm not going to say it's on 12 different monitors, but we do, or 14. But you watch for a lot of things, and especially once the season starts to unfold. I mean, you probably immediately gravitate to what's wrong versus what's right. And in that case, the opening weekend is going to be so intriguing because the LSU-Florida game is going to cause heartache somewhere. The other games that I'm obviously plugged in on is Florida and Utah. If Florida can win that game, then the negativity starts to fade away. I mean, Alabama, I'm not paying any attention to that first game. I mean, to me, it's just – you're going to see a bunch of quarterbacks out there, and then all eyes will be on the next week. But I think South Carolina and North Carolina as well, because if South Carolina can win that game, then the momentum goes through the roof with Georgia coming up in 2 weeks after that. Jeff is in Columbus. You're next up.
What's up, Paul?
How are you, Jeff?
Good. How you been?
Jeff, we've been great. Thank you.
That's good. Hey, Paul, I've been hearing a lot of back and forth this week, the little bit I've listened, between callers, like new callers and old callers. There's been a lot of debate going on, hasn't there?
It's been a heated week.
Yeah. Well, here's my thought. I don't care whether you're a new caller or an old caller, but especially for the new callers, let me give them a little tip. You don't have to call every day. I mean, some of these callers – they are calling every day, Paul. They would do a big benefit to the show, to themselves, and especially the listeners, if they maybe dial it back to about once a month.
So, Jeff, do us all a favor, because I know you aren't shy. Give us a couple of names of people who need to calm it down.
Okay. I got a top three for you, Paul.
Good.
They call every freaking day and shouldn't be calling but once a month max. First of all, is this Doug in Tulsa. I mean, he might have had one good call early on, but the guy is like listening to paint dry. I mean, he tries to be funny. And
hey,
no
Jeff, I hate to put you on the spot, but is there any way you could give us evidence of that one good call?
Well, yeah. I think he made one, Paul. And then, of course, we got the other two that are too obvious. You got AC. I mean, I don't even know if that guy should call once a year. I mean, that guy's a lunatic. And then old Matt in San Antonio. I mean, Matt, you would do yourself a big favor if you just call once a month and ask about Texas A&M football. I mean, maybe once a season, because it's the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, what do you think about that
okay,
top three,
I
Paul?
Think that was a very basic primer. Okay, let me take it a step further now. Those are
okay.
Those are all no dispute. No dispute in any of those. Let's get to some
right.
of the better known callers. Who should call less?
Well, you know I've always had John in Louisville on my hit list, Paul. I mean, I've told you that's old news that I've said he needs to dial it down and dial it back and call left. I don't know why the guy's always in such a hurry every day to be first in line. I think that's pretty weird in itself. I mean, the guy must call in about noon. What time does he call in, Paul? About noon?
Somewhere between 11 and 12.
Yeah, he has to, because the guy's, if he's not first, he's never calling in. I don't know. I mean, those are the ones that just kind of get to me, Paul. I'll be honest. And this Doug out there in Tulsa, man, I don't know. If he's going to represent Oklahoma, they need to get themselves, they need to step their game up and start recruiting for next year's show, Paul, because that guy ain't going to cut it. Speaking of Oklahoma, what do you think about the new Big 12, Paul? Seriously, what's your thoughts about the new Big 12?
I think it's very watered down. I appreciate their survival mode, but they didn't need four from the Pac-12.
No. I mean, heck, the teams that are in the holdovers from the Big 12 are the only teams that are half worth watching. I mean, they brought in nothing but a hodgepodge of mid-majors, in my opinion. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Colorado is really a one-hit wonder. I mean, you take Dion away, and
right.
they're not watchable. Utah, to me, is intriguing because they have shown they can play serious football.
True.
Arizona and Arizona State, pretty much a waste.
Right. Right. You know, and of course, Cincinnati, I mean, we're going to see how much Fickell meant to that program real
yeah.
quick. Don't you agree?
I'm impressed with Cincinnati, but, are they a one-horse coach? And, you know, Houston, I think Houston has some moments. UCF, I mean, they're hanging on, but, they're not as good as their fans think they are.
No. And every one of those that you just mentioned, I know for sure about Cincinnati because one of my good buddies was defensive coordinator down there under Brian Kelly. Those fans down there, they'll go like 5,000 people at a game if they have a losing season.
Yeah, we were at Arkansas last year, and I met some of the Cincinnati fans. I mean, they have good fans, but they have been on an incredible high, and last year it
right.
peaked a little. I mean, Fickell was brilliant. I mean, such a smart move to get out of there.
I've never commented, Paul, but when you have Fickell on, you guys got good rapport. Don't you agree? You and Fickell?
I like him. I mean, we've been fortunate to have run into each other probably four or five times, which helps versus just, meeting somebody out of nowhere. I really like the fact that when we had him on recently, I mean, he addressed the Ohio State. You know how rough that was.
Right.
But he used that to his advantage as opposed to acting like it never happened.
Right. And I tell you what, nobody wants to mess with that guy because he was a big-time high school wrestler. I mean, big time. But, hey, Paul, would you look at the show right now? Do you think this is a national show or still more of a regional show?
I mean, I view it as more of a regional show that's on a national platform.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm glad you said that, Paul, because you like to say you keep it real, and I'm glad you said that because – I've been a little disappointed, I'll be honest, Paul, that when you talk about the Big Ten expansion, you got a tone and tenor, man. You're kind of being snarky. And I don't get it. I mean,
well,
tell the SEC
well, Jeff, I really,
Missouri.
I'm just not that overwhelmed by three of the four schools. And I understand college football, and I know what Oregon and Washington represent, but to me, they just don't. I don't know why the Big Ten needed them.
Well, I think it's obvious they did it purely because of they needed some partners with USC and UCLA for travel. I think that's why they took two more to match it up, to have four out there just to calm down how many weeks of season or whatever you've got.
I mean, that's fair.
Travel.
I mean, Southern Cal is so dynamic that I feel like, I mean, UCLA, I understand that was a package deal, but they do nothing.
I think you
they
understand
do absolutely
the brand
nothing
of UCLA,
me.
Paul.
What's that?
You undersell that brand. I don't get it. Why are you so down on UCLA?
Well, because for the most part, they've been an empty suit in college football for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, but you've got to admit, everybody knows the colors. Everybody knows the uniforms. If they get, you know, I am shocked, actually, Chip Kelly hadn't turned it around out there a little bit. That's, to me, doesn't get talked about enough is how bad he's done out there. I mean, if Chip Kelly can't turn around, I agree it's concerning.
I feel like I'm fairly honest about the Big Ten versus many of my colleagues. I have praised them. You know how I've been one of the few who have been waving the Ohio State flag for many years in terms of getting in the playoffs when many didn't. I mean, so I respect the league. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Rutgers is absurd and Maryland doesn't do much for me. But I mean, Penn State is an amazing choice. Nebraska, I mean, I'll believe Nebraska's back when I see it.
And I agree with that, but you got to admit, when they took Nebraska, that was a good take.
Oh, I thought what was it, the first Ohio State? I can't remember which game it was, Ohio State, Michigan, or one of those played at Lincoln. And you watched it. It was essential to see.
Right.
And then we've been disappointed ever since.
And I don't see any difference between Maryland and Missouri. That's my point, Paul.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I don't really see any difference there. So that's, you know, that's what I'm getting at.
But listen, if we're having an honest conversation, Missouri is of the now 16 SEC schools, Missouri is by far the most curious.
Right, exactly. Hey, and I'm glad that you had, I think, Nicole Auer back on. Last time we talked, we got into a little bit of debate, got a little heated, and I was trying to tell you, but you kept talking over me and stepping all over a good call. That Gene Smith, I knew for a fact, had reached out to Greg Sankey. And I'm glad Nicole Auerbach brought that up.
That was great.
Told Patini, you know,
I mean, listen, Sankey two different times has told us about Patini on the air. The only thing I didn't know that what she said yesterday was about Gene Smith. That was very important.
Do you think there's any shot at Gene Smith maybe being, quote unquote, coming out of retirement a couple years and maybe being like if they come up with a commissioner/czar of college football?
I think of the people that I've heard mentioned, he would be highly regarded and respected universally. It wouldn't bother me where he's been. And I know, didn't he go to Notre Dame? Is that right?
Yes, he's Notre Dame, so, and then, of course, out of Arizona State, and then I think he may have had a couple other stops. But
I think what we have to do is be open-minded, and I think that's the best part about Nicole underplayed the Kevin Warren relationship. Kevin Warren did nothing to further collegiality. I mean, he's lucky he got away when he did. And Sankey.
Right.
I'm not going to go into it. That's Greg Sankey's decision.
Well, the ironic thing, Paul, is him and Gene Smith were super tight.
That's interesting.
They might have even been roommates or something at one time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Kevin Warren.
What really most disappointing is that Kevin Warren, I've known him for a long time, and he just went off. He went off the deep end up there, Jeff. Hey, we have to go to a break. Back with more. We'll go back to school in a moment with one of our student reporters. And more of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We're back, and let's check in with Daryl next in Georgia. Hello, Daryl.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I saw ESPN come out with their top 100 players. Georgia had the number two player in Brock Bowers, had six of the 100. I think that was more than any other SEC school.
Right.
Paul, you remember when I told you, Paul, you probably don't remember, because you probably don't want to remember, but you remember when I told you the importance of hiring staff, having people on your staff that graduated from the school?
I remember that.
And you told me it didn't matter. And I said, Paul, I think they put out a little bit more. I think Kirby now
Nick Saban has won seven national championships without being remotely
concerned. We're talking about now, Paul. We're not talking about the past. We're talking about now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go too far in the past. 2 years.
26, Paul. 26. It matters. Paul, we're going to go undefeated. Okay? You know that. I know that. We already know that. We're going to go undefeated. We're going to get into 14 playoff. And we're going to win another national title. And when that happens, then you've got to call this a dynasty, right?
Well, I think it's already pretty close to one.
I think it would validate then to be a dynasty, and Kirby would have to be that's got to put Kirby on top then above Saban. I mean that because that's something that not even Alabama was able to accomplish, and that right there will be the icing on the cake. Paul, Alabama had a coach named Pete Golden, right?
Yes.
All right, and they got rid of him. You know what we do with our Petes at Georgia? We triple them, Paul. We triple our Petes. That's what we do. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, this is going to be a landslide. We're going to go undefeated. That will be – what would that put Kirby now? If 15, the last 30 games, he would be 30-0. If you go back farther than that, he would be probably what?
Well, I think 44-1. His last regular season loss was to Florida. Yeah, in 2020.
Excuse me?
I said his last regular season loss was in 2020 to Florida.
2020 to Florida. That was a long time ago, Paul.
Dan Mullen.
To Dan Mullen. I remember that game. Okay. For some reason, I thought the last loss was to Auburn, but you're right. It was Florida.
Thank you.
I remember we lost to Auburn, then we turned around and played Auburn in the SEC title game and stomped them.
That was
just like we're
going to
stomp them this year. But like, let me ask you this, Paul. I want to ask you, who do you think in the SEC – right now, who do you think is going to be the most improved team?
Texas A&M.
I'm going to go Auburn. Just because I like Hugh Freeze. We're going to see what Hugh Freeze is doing. I'm going to go Auburn. Texas A&M. What's going to be the most disappointing team?
I'll let you answer that one.
I'm going to go A&M. I'm going to go A&M because A&M has never lived up. They've never helped. I mean,
well, they won five games last year.
He gave him all that money, and he has yet to live up to it. Well, and this is make a break year for him. Would you agree with that?
It depends on the right. I mean, if he has another losing season, I think that could be a breaking point. But other than that, I think as long as the program looks like it's moving forward. Hey, thanks. Let's check in with Larry, who is up next.
Captain Dupas, he never fails. I think Georgia, he didn't listen to the guy, Connor. Yeah, Georgia's going to be a disappointment, Dale. You'll be wanting to run off Kirby Smart for long. Paul, let me tell you, I'm going to say something, man. I agree with Jeff. I hate to agree with a Yankee-ass carpetbagger, but I got to agree with him. Let me say something. John, I heard you yesterday. Let me tell you something. You couldn't judge a damn hot dog eating contest, Jack. you ain't got a clue about football. We got another quarterback in the mix, Dylan. So, and Paul, you tried to help out our man yesterday. I mean, what has Saban done with those four quarterbacks? How many times have we been in trouble, quarterback?
Many times.
And Saban pulls it through. And just like right now, man, why have we got five? Because they want to be there. Because they want to be part of the damn dynasty that's all ain't never left and went no damn where. The only thing about Alabama is they always be here, son. They always going to be up in that head. And just like our man, that's the most stupidest. And AC, you are from outer space, Jack. You are. I believe you're an alien. You know, Paul, one of them. Don't you?
Larry, thanks for the call. We're heading to the break a little bit over here. We're back with more guests to come, more great calls. We're back with the second 2 hours and 15 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back here late on a Friday afternoon, Bubba is up next. Hey, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, we're eat up with Yankee calls today. Hey, you know the difference in a Yankee and a damn Yankee?
What's that?
A Yankee comes down south to visit for a while and then goes home. A damn Yankee comes down south and decides to stay.
No, you're right.
Well, that being said, though, I can't wait till Ohio State gets their hind end beat so we can go another 3 to 6 months without having to hear Jeff blow his horn about everybody, how often they should call in and blah, blah, blah. Jeff, we don't care. Your opinion does not matter to us. Go suck on a Buckeye. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. I plan on it. Jason is in Augusta. You're on the air. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I wanted to make a couple points. Jim and made a comment earlier this week about, you know, callers and that kind of thing. I mean, I think any call you take has merit on your show. I mean, is that correct?
Well, I think so. I mean, we're an open forum.
Right. And he made a comment about him and I Man being the new I think he used the statesman of the Feinbaum House. Wanted to go Mitch McConnell or anything. I think they're more of a Nancy Pelosi and a Chuck Schumer at this point. I mean, it's Jim comes on here and all he wants to do is call people out and argue, and I don't see any merit in that at all. And, you know, it, you know, I think you've got, you know, and as far as, you know, John from Louisville, I mean, I like John. And he calls out Legend. He called him a murderer. I mean, Legend has paid his debt to society. So, you know, let bygones be bygones. I mean, you know, Legend is you know, he's going to culinary school. He's got a good gig. You know, Jim, get a life, dude. Please. Thank you, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Jason. Again, a reminder, we will talk to a number of the student reporters throughout the next 2 hours as we begin to wind that down. That's always one of the last things we do before we get to the season. Jim is up next.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Ryan Moore, Ryan, just now. Talking about, I said speakers of the House, not statesmen of the House. Who was that guy? What was his name just now?
Jason.
Okay, let me ask you this, Jason. Is it all right for Legion to come in here and bash the hell out of me, lie about my age, smear the hell out of me? If it was in court, he'd be sued his ass off. He'd lose a ton of money for slander, for everything. And you know that, Feinbaum. It's a pure slander. No, nothing but lies. But you think that's all right, huh? That's all right. But yet when I respond, it's not all right. Are you a double standard bastard? Is that what you are, Jason? Yeah, you make me mad, so I'm mad as hell about this show. I hate the show now. I absolutely hate it. And Feinbaum knows that, but it's going to even out one day. All the evil's going to, and then nothing, it's a redneck club. That's all this is. And you're a redneck, Jason. Yeah, I'm mad. Damn right I'm mad. I got a right to be mad. You got any answers for that? Call back and see if that's all right with you. I don't give a damn what's right with you. Yeah, I am a Christian. I'm a fired up Christian. There's hell on earth going on. You need to know that. You're part of it. That's all I got, man. That's all.
Okay, we appreciate Jim's call. That was a calm way to end the first 2 hours of our program. We'll head to Arkansas next and find out what's happening out there with the Razorbacks as the weekend begins here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.